Yeah, I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, and I forgot my glasses. Where's Brother Andy? There's a glasses in there somewhere, Brother Andy. let me see here. Okay, we'll do that here. And also, so just bear with me a minute until we can get our everything lined up. And then we are speaking on the subject from birth to adoption. And our subject is in time and season, walking in the time and season of Enoch. And so let's look at Romans 12. I think I have to read it here for you, right? Or anybody has your Bible, old time fashioned Bible? No? Okay, alright, so I have to open up Esau here. Lots of work here for the preacher these days. All the technology now is wonderful. Okay, in the meanwhile, I want to thank each and everyone who's made our stay so wonderful. Brother Joselle and Sister Melba, the children who sacrificed but have been in their homes, and Brother Cernan, who is a grandfather again, praise the Lord. Amen. And it's good to see Brother E, Sister Christine, Brother Bonnie and his wife who have taken their time to be with us. So we are just grateful and pray that our being here is beneficial to all. Alright? Okay, let's go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is called the evening sacrifice, which is a voluntary sacrifice. You have to voluntarily do it. It's called a burnt offering, the burnt offering sacrifice. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's our main scripture. And together with this, I would like to read Philippians 2. And the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that means the external array, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Amen? I'll keep that open. May the Lord not only bless the preaching of the word, but the hearing of the word and the understanding of his word. Amen. Okay, we are going to start, and I'm going to do this quickly, and I'll pray that you will help me as I do it. In the 38th book, the prophet of God says, and so we've come to the last age, the Laodicean age. This is our age. We know that it is the last age, for the Jews are back in Palestine. No matter how they got there, they are there. This is the harvest time. Can you read that? Or should I make it a little bit bigger? I better do it. Because I might never get a chance to do this again. So let's do all we can. Is it? Did it? Yeah. Okay. And this is the harvest time. I want you to notice harvest time. But before there can be a harvest, there is a process before harvest. But before there can be a harvest, there has to be a ripening, a maturing of both vines. That's number one. Then, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he adds to it. The thing that's the matter with the message today is those who obtain it in their heart must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. See, you can pick up the message and then let the Son bake all the greenness out of you. See, making mature Christians. See what I mean? God is coming soon to receive His church, and we must have that type of Christian for Him to receive. The wheat has got to be ripened. Now, I want to just draw those sections out quickly. First of all, the prophet is telling me there is a section where the seed must be in the heart. And that equals the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth. Then the next process is it must lay in the presence of the Son. To be ripened, and matured. And then, so the process is the seed in the heart, it must lay in the presence of the Son to be ripened. And the next we move into that ripening or maturing looks like the character and the image. And that's the kind of church the Lord is coming for, and that's the harvest. So all of this is a process in harvest time. It is a climax for us, the harvest time. Now, I just want to break it down again. I'm going to just say I'm working on these two sections tonight. On Sunday, I want to work on these two sections because you cannot have them disconnected. The presence of the Son, I'm going to show, is the fivefold ministry, but under an Ephesian pattern, under an apostolic order, because we are restored back to apostolic faith. Okay, now let's just take this, and I want you to help me. What does it need for you to be born again? Scripture. I didn't catch you. You know, the preachers up here are very loud, and when they're down there, they're very soft. Okay. For our day, it's John 17 and 3, but I want you to notice this. It is Ephesians 1:13. After you hear the word of truth, right? The word of truth. And that word of truth comes in every age, and we call it the message of the hour. Now, the message of the hour is quite big, so let's break that down. So, you have the new birth, starts off with, after you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this same is written in James 1 and 14, isn't it? Let's look at that quickly. And I'm going to take my time. If I had somebody with an open Bible, they can read it in your language quickly, you know. Anybody wants to volunteer? Somebody does? Who does? Where is that scripture? It's 1, James 1 and... So it's not there. But you are born from the... 18, sorry. Yeah, of His own will begot us with the word of truth. So we know the birth comes from the word of truth. We have two witnesses of that. It is called in 1 Peter, being born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of God. By, it's called the word of God. I want you to notice the different language. It's important that we know this. Now, this word, this word of truth, let's take Luke today. The word of truth for Luke today was what? Justification. Now, I want you to notice that Luther did not just preach justification. Luther did a commentary on the entire Bible. Alright? He did messages on the bondage of the will. He did messages and rehearsings with the Erasmus. Great argumentative compositions. He spoke about the Catholic Church and recognized that they were the enemy of the people. Without going that far, I just want to say that Luther's message was completely accurate. That everything Luther preached was the truth. Or were there areas in Luther's message that was corrupted? Did Luther have a clear understanding of exactly what, of everything he taught? No. So therefore, the only thing that God was interested in was the doctrine of justification. That was the only thing he was interested in. That's the only thing that carried life, was the doctrine of justification. Now I want to do this because I want to show you that Luther represents a star, and a star represents Christ. And Christ, Luther's ministry was the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Luther's doctrine was the doctrine of Christ. I'm doing this because I don't want to jump here. I want to make sure that each block is completely understood because we're recording it. The next one, I want to go to a second John. John 1:8-9. Watch carefully. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If you did not understand justification, which was the doctrine of Christ for Luther, you did not have God. You did not have Zoe. You did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Even though Luther taught many things, that was the doctrine that carried life. That was the doctrine of Christ, because Luther didn't have a ministry of his own. The ministry he had was the ministry of Jesus Christ. The message he had was the message of Jesus Christ. He was the voice of Christ for that day. And my sheep hear my voice, the prophet said. My sheep understand. And the voice, they need to understand the word for your day. The word or the doctrine of Christ. Now, the same happened with Wesley. Wesley's doctrine of Christ was sanctification. Now, I want you to notice, the believer in Wesley day believed in justification. Because Wesley got birthed from reading and looking at Wesley, he was from Luther, he said his heart got warm, and before that angel of that throne came and anointed him, he was already, that's right, he was already justified, but he was not birthed until the messenger came from heaven. He was already justified. He was already warmed by Luther's message of justification by faith. But that couldn't give him a boot. He needed another angel from the throne to anoint him with a message from the throne. And that brought life. So sanctification was the doctrine of Christ. And he that had that doctrine. Now if you did not, if you believed the entire, if Wesley believed everything Luther preached, right? But he did not have sanctification. Could he have been birthed? Now, my next point. Did Wesley, in everything that Wesley preached, was he 100% right? It did not matter of anything else that you believe. That's a surplus. I'm going to show you. Doctrines carry two avenues. In every age, doctrine comes to bring life and godliness. If you have godliness before life, you're an impersonation of Christianity. But if you have life, the birth, then the doctrine from birth moves from birth to godliness. In other words, to teach you how to walk in that day, how to please God in that day. But only in the measure that has truth. Because, you know, Luther wanted to kill him. So, you know, the Jews was the problem. Alright, now, again. So Pentecost was the restoration of the gifts and the blessings of God. Right? But now I want to just show you something. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost were Trinitarians or oneness. Is that right? And yet they were born again. When the prophet said Trinitarianism is of the devil, but yet he didn't hold as accounted to them the doctrines that they preach in error, because he did not give them that. He gave them the doctrine of Christ that carried life. And only that came out of their mouth, God honored. So they're not accountable to anything else because God didn't give it to them. And God didn't give light on it, so they were not unbelieving, because to believe you have to hear, and they didn't hear. So how can they have faith in something they never heard? They couldn't. Now, I want you to notice the word transgress. I've said it over and over again. And then, I'm just not saying it for you. I'm saying it for the people who have not been here. The word transgress means to go around the doctrine, to sidestep it, to never preach on it, to not touch it. And if you do that, you dishonor God and the anointing and the message that carries life. And God says you're a transgressor. Is that right? And he holds you accountable. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both Father and Son. If there come any unto you, that's preachers, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't say, God bless you, and, you know, don't give him an offering and tithing, because he's going to go and deceive others, blind others from the very truth that is carrying life. So I said, don't bid him Godspeed, for he that bid him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. Now, this is important. Evil deed is being identified with someone who just doesn't bring the doctrine on your pulpit. Because if he does not bring the doctrine of Christ, it means that minister is not born again. Because he has not life. Now let's take some things and add it on that the prophet taught us. One, the prophet taught us that life must come through the body. You can't get it through tape. You can't get it from reading a book. Life comes through the body. Life comes through Ananias to Paul, even though he met the pillar of fire. Life came to Cornelius through Peter. He couldn't get it anywhere else. Life came to the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, through Philip. You can't get any. So the man who gave you birth, if you say the man who gave you birth, in Luther they did not have justification, he didn't give you birth. If the man you heard the gospel from in Wesley day did not have the doctrine of sanctification or understood it, he did not have life. They were not birthed. That leaves us with the doctrine of Christ in the bride age. It's a Pentecost. What is the doctrine of Christ for the bride age? So the doctrine of Christ for the bride age that carries life is John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It's the revelation of Father and Son away from oneness. It's the capstone revelation in the bride age, because you cannot marry a God or a man that you do not know. Can't do it. So this is the unveiling of God. This is the mighty God unveiled. This is, who is this Melchizedek? Who do you say this is? Christ revealing his own word. Greater than Solomon is here now. This is the doctrine of Christ for our day. If a man comes at a oneness and he does not know the difference between Jesus and Jesus, he is not converted, he is not birthed. Because the prophet is telling you that he comes in his father's name, therefore his father's name is Jesus, and yet he cannot be his own father. So tie the birth in back with the doctrine of Christ, your Godhead, and then you will come up with one in a million in a message. Don't feel too bad. With this birth, with the anointing of this birth, there's a purpose that God did this doctrine, because only the elect can understand, and the elect has always been small. So now when you got to understand, there's a step before this step. I'm going to draw that step before the step here. Brother Branham talks about the pond lily. He begins to tell you that the pond lily comes out of the mire, the clay, the muck. He said the muck. He says, but it's something that's pressing it. When it presses its way, like in our day, it presses its way up. It's pressing its way through justification, sanctification, see, until it comes to the doctrine of Christ for its day. Then it's birthed. So it's not, the pressing does not mean it's birthed. It's only when it comes in the presence of the Son, then the palm lily is birthed. So there's a step before this step. Right? There's a step before this step. And now, what's another step? There is a step before this step also. I should have put that in there. Well, let's put it that way. You see, while you're here, while we are here, hearing the message, we have been called out from denomination. And when we come out of the message, we are being washed. Washing does not mean you're birthed. Foolish virgin is washed. She's not birthed, she's a clean living woman. You have people who are sanctifying this message, not birthed. You have preachers who are, you know, clean living men, but are not birthed. Love the Lord with all that is with them, but they are not birthed. So we come out of denomination. You see, we are called out. And when we are called out, we go through this process of washing. Until eventually, you meet somewhere in the body, you meet some ministry or someone with life. And when you did, it quickened you, and then that placed you in the body of Christ. Now, watch carefully. If you believe you were birthed here, because you came into the message, there are four spirits that deceives you in the birth in the message. The first spirit is the Baptist spirit in the message that says when you believe the prophet and you believe the message, you have been born again. That's a lie. The second believes if you are a believer, you would live right. Well, foolish virgin live right, they are not born again. The third believes that they dream and it comes to pass and they pray for people and they get healed and God is with them and God answers their prayer. That's the Pentecostals. They are not born again either. Then there is the Christian science in the message. Oh, you don't need those deep things. How can you, you know, you should love one another. If you can't love one another, what do you want these deep things for? So they love everybody, even the devil. They love, 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 love. But none of these is the evidence of birth. The evidence of birth is a spiritual understanding of the doctrine of Christ for your day. If you don't understand, amen, that eternal life today means the knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou attend, they are not quickened. Amen. The message is still unlocked to them. Right? Just to give you two examples of how it's unlocked. We believe the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, said unto my Lord, the Son of God who is on his right hand. There's only one who is on his right hand, his Son, and he's not his own father. Then this Lord, his Old Testament name was Jehovah, Melchizedek, El Shaddai. Is that right? He has many deity names, but he started a family, and therefore he took a human name called Jesus. And this son inherits that name, Hebrews 1 and 4, Jesus. Now I want to ask you, which Lord descends with the short voice and trump? If they never ask you that, when you were in the Oneness Message Church, Sister Melba, which one knows the secret of the heart? The son who said he could do nothing, or this one? Okay, which Jesus keeps his appointment? The one who doesn't even know when he's coming back, or the one who sent the son in the fullness of time? This one is Acts 2 and 4, 2 and 34. This same Jesus in 36. This same Jesus God has made Lord and Christ. Which one is the anointed and which one is the anointing? Which one came down as Revelation 10:1 to anoint the prophet? This one, the anointed one, or the anointing? Let's go a little bit further. Which Christ is revealed in his own words? Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own. As I hear, I speak. The Bible said, God is the word. The word comes to Christ. He was the fullness of that word. He is the word manifest, the word expressed, the living word. Where is the unexpressed word in spirit form? So you see, if they are not born again by the doctrine of Christ, they are, which one is Son of Man? The Spirit of Jehovah was upon me, for he had anointed me to preach the gospel. Which one came back and anointed William Branham to be Son of Man? Omega. So this is the Lord appearing. This is the Lord coming. He comes three times. Now I ask you, can you understand the message without the doctrine of Christ for your day? You see, you're in sin from the minute you pick up the book calling Jesus on the scene. Which Jesus do you want? The one who said I can do nothing, or the one who Jesus said greater than I? So they don't know their Jesus, they don't know their Lord, they don't know which one. Why is he made Lord? Give me five reasons. One, he's a husband to the church. And Sarah called her husband Lord. And the husband is the head or the Lord of his wife. Second reason he's made Lord. He's the firstborn. Firstborn is made Lord over his brethren. Can you give me scripture? Deuteronomy 21:15, Genesis 27. Is that right? Three, why is he made Lord? King of the Jews. I'll make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Fourth reason. Overcomer. When he overcame, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He is made Lord, and even angels are subject unto him because he conquered. And five. High priest over the house of God, and the house of God is the children of God, not furniture. Now, Is this important? Is this stage, the seed in the heart, important? Because without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing to ripen. There is nothing to mature. Alright? Everybody okay? Alright, now, I'm not going to do any more on this because the first Sunday I spent a lot of time here, right? Alright, good. Okay, now, notes. Now we are working on this section here, lay in the presence of the Son. So it's important that we have a fivefold. What's the first qualification of a minister? He must be born again. Should I read the quotes or you know them? The first qualification, the property of a minister, he must be born again. Can you be born again without the doctrine of Christ for your day?
No.
Can you be born again without meeting a member of the body who has that doctrine and has that life?
No.
I don't have to tell you. It's easy to see one in a million, right? Now, my job now is to tell you that doctrines carry two purposes with God. It carries life and it carries godliness. Watch 2 Peter 1 and 3. According as his divine nature, divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's a doctrine that gives you life, and then after you have life, then he has to teach you how to be like God. How to reverence God. Because that word means to also reverence. It means also to do, to act, to worship. You see, to please God. So godliness is not birth. Because you do not teach a child who is not your son how to be like you. But you can teach a son who is your son by nature how to be like you. So, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, except it didn't come the same way. In every age, he gave them the access to life, but to come into complete godliness, he didn't give them all of that life so that they couldn't be looking like the sons William Branham looked like. Because he did not give them that measure of the word to bring them into the image of godliness. But in our day he did. Because we saw one who looked like Christ. And how are you going to get life and godliness? Through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. Notice the two words. He called us unto glory. And the word glory is the word doxa. Shorten and broke that word down for you. Glory means doctor. It means God's estimation of what you should be. That comes with honor and comes with praise. When you come into the estimation, the opinion of what God has of you, that's a position of honor, a position of praise. And then virtue in the Hebrew is arit. It means that you excel in the excellence. In other words, you came first in your class when it comes to the Bible study. It means you excel in areas that God taught you. If he taught you about how to be a husband, you excelled in there. If he taught you how to be a wife, you excelled in there. If he taught you how to be a servant, you excelled in there. You are striving for perfection, for virtue. So 2 John 1, 9 and 10 deals with life, and Ephesians 1, 13 in every age brought the doctrine of God of life. And what followed the doctrine of life was godliness. Because in the message after birth, God had his will to reveal how he would like you to live in the age of the white horse, in the age of the red horse, in the age, and he anointed you to behave like that. Not only to be born, but to be able to live according to the anointing and the enemy for that day. Whether it's to sacrifice your life, or whether it's to be bold and brave like the apostolic faith. Notice areas of Luther word or message was corruptible, but not the doctrine of Christ's justification. You didn't need the rest to be born again. You just needed the doctrine of Christ for his day. That's why Brother Branham always called every age a principal what? Theme. Luther, justification. Wesley, sanctification. Pentecost, restoration of the gifts and blessings. And the bright age, that you will know your God and do great exploits. Watch again. There is the doctrine that pertains to life, principles of the doctrine of Christ, and then there is the perfect and complete doctrine of Christ that deals with godliness. So in the scriptures, you will hear it says, let's leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So the birth, Ephesians 1 and 13, is dealing with your birth. It's dealing with being born again, the family. But that's only the principles of, that's only the first. That's only the start. That's what the word principle, leaving the principle, leaving what you started with. You already have that. Let's go on to perfection. Perfection means let's go to completion. There is more word to complete. And what is to complete? If you are birthed, you ought to look like this. The stature of a perfect man. I'm not going too fast. I'm trying to let you see that if you are preaching birth today to a church that has been for 20 years and you're trying to get them to be born again every Sunday, you have a problem. Because if you're born again, you cannot be more born again. And if you have taught them well the doctrine, and they can't see, they're either foolish virgin, which is okay, or them that are good to the bride, don't put them away. That's what Paul said. And don't worry. If they dislike the doctrine of Christ, you don't have to worry about them staying long. They will leave. Because the purpose of the birth is to separate you from the mixed multitude that you came out in the message with. So when Moses came, a mixed multitude came out, what separated them was Caleb and Joshua, who knew what the promise was, and it was the land. The promise was the land. The land for us is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? And so the mixed multitude that came out, Caleb and Joshua represented the believer who knew the baptism of the Holy Ghost promise, let's go take the land. So there was a separation. Now, in this stage of the birth, he has separated you from the mixed multitude in the message. And by separating you, he separates you and it brings a lot of pain. So what follows the birth is the pulling away of the shock. Because when the shock pulls away, you must lay in the presence of the Son. So the birth with the doctrine of Christ pulls the shock away. And when it pulls the shock away, it causes you persecution. See? Let us read. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not for lying, stealing, cheating. Righteousness is having the right revelation. Abel, by faith, by revelation, offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice by Cain than Cain, whereby God testified he was what? What made him righteous? His revelation. The prophet says, not faith, he says his revelation. So your right revelation makes you righteous. Wrong revelation makes you unrighteous. Righteousness has nothing to do with holiness. Abraham was righteous because he believed God. Abraham was not righteous because he was sanctified, completely holy. So I want to ask you, do you believe you have the right revelation? Do you believe you have the doctrine that carries life? Then are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen.
Cannot change. But you see, you've got to be persecuted. Sorry. You've got to be persecuted so the shock could fall away. And if you don't, if you haven't gone through that, then you never had your faith tried. You never had your revelation tried. It's, you see, you've got to be birthed first, then you get faith, then you get faith, then there's a trying of your faith. When all begin to leave you, when they begin to call you two gods, you understand, two gods, two lords, all sorts of lies. When that happens, then you're in the word pattern. If you're not in the word pattern, you're not an oddball. Nobody's ashamed of you. You see? Because all of them are together. They have the same mind. It's only the bride who has the mind of Christ. It's completely different. You have to be an oddball. They've got to be ashamed of you. You've got to be a one in a million. Why? Because you live badly? Because of your doctrine, because of your revelation, and the word is identifying if you've come through those steps. He said, Brother Tony, I might not have gone through, as long Sernan and Boney, your elders, have gone through that. That means you have gone through that. They bore the reproach, and you are following. Watch carefully. You are blessed when you are persecuted for your right revelation of doctrine of Christ. Because they don't even know how to get up the pyramid. They think holiness will get them up the pyramid. But foolish virgin is holy, just like the bride. And she doesn't go up the pyramid. They don't know how to get up this pyramid. Watch again. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Have they done that? Why? When you did not have Godhead doctrine, when you were a oneness with them, it was all good. Ministers meeting, you know, joint meeting, camp meeting, conventions. Isn't that right? What made the difference? The doctrine of Christ. That's what made the difference. Right? Now, they have cut you off, rejected you, right? Humiliate you, did everything else. Did you give in? Did you give up? Because it's not you.
Amen.
Amen. You're sealed onto the day of redemption. It's not you, no matter what they do. But eventually the electing among them will come to see they're going around in a circle and dying. Watch again. Rejoice and be glad. See there, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets, which will be. Why were the prophets persecuted? For doctrine. For truth. Now, one more. I want you to notice, you have to follow. If your life hasn't followed this pattern, you have no life. You just have a religious spirit in the message, going to church, no matter how faithful you are. You have to have word experience. The word must draw out your life. And when you look, you can see, I've been here, and I experienced that. Watch again. Let's go to the book of Luke 6, 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you for no good reason except for your doctrine, and when they shall separate you from their company. I don't have to tell you that's what they did. Right? But that's part of the word. If you are sorry for that, if you are hurt for that, you have a problem. You have a problem when the word says, this is who you are. We have this idea that because we have the truth, everybody must be thankful and they should appreciate you. They should have done that for Jesus. They should have done that for William Branham. They should have done that for Moses. They should have... No! Their world hates truth, but they love religion. Here's what the word is warning you, telling you if you're in the word platform, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice, ye, in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in that like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. You're in the word pattern. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Are we ready? Now, here is what Paul is telling Titus. That's one of his ministers, Paul the Apostle. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, sound instruction, doctrine, sound doctrinal teaching, instruction. Now, I want you to notice the 11th verse to the 13th verse. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, and you could see that it appeared through seven church ages, the heavens, the stars are declaring his glory, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present world. Notice what it's telling you. It's telling you that there is a doctrine of godliness after you're born again. There's the doctrine of Christ, which is called the first principles of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ. And if there's a first principle, there must be the complete doctrine of Christ. And in every time there is an age that brought salvation, there is a measure of doctrine to promote godliness or godlike behavior in the age. And if the ministry cannot separate what is for birth and what is for godliness, they'll mix it up. And then you get the both mixed up, or the work grace kind of thing. You measure yourself with godliness here for birth. See? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. This is your conduct, your manner. This is the doctrine of godliness. Not dealing with the doctrine of life. You have to be born again already. Salvation has already appeared to you. Looking for the blessed hope, that's the harvest. Of the glorious appearing of the great God, that's the Father, that's the appearing, that's the Son of Man, and our Savior who we meet in the air. Watch again. Now, the process is this. Why did the prophet break it down like this? The seed in the heart, lay in the presence of the Son, be ripened, matured, harvest. Why did he break it down like that? I'll tell you why. Things that are to be said from your birth, when you were born and presented into this world, God knew that you were going to be here in this earth, and you grew from birth to maturity. Notice the key word there is you grew. You grow into these stages. You cannot jump from here to here. You cannot jump from here to here. You cannot be preaching birth and telling the people birth and harvest and adoption and speaking the word and image. That's two different kinds of promises with two different kinds of anointing for two different seasons in your life. Therefore, if you get a man who comes here to preach, you're the wise virgin. You have to know if that man knows how to stay within the channel of that word to keep that blessing, because every part of that word has a certain result. If you preach it in the season, we'll get the results. But you have to go in the sequence of time and in the process. Otherwise, you know the man is in confusion. He just took up a book. He saw, he read it. He does not know the church is in that season, in that time. So he's out of touch. Note again, the rapture. Remember, we are, what is Brother Sir and myself, Brother Boney doing? We need a wise virgin. Wise virgin. Not foolish virgin, wise virgin. In the message rapture, he says, we're at a corner. It's easy when someone turns a corner of a brick mason, turns a corner. God isn't building a wall. He's building a house, see? And there's many cuts and turns that He is predicted here in the Bible. And the turns, anybody could try to make a turn, but it must be according to the blueprint. It isn't, it's got to be torn down. Is this the blueprint the Prophet giving us? Right? Notice, if you continue with the doctrine of Christ, you will die. Because you'll never get to these stages. Again, watch the scriptures. I'm taking a concept out of this. Turning corners and different anointing. In 2 Corinthians 3:14, we know that Israel was rejected Christ. And yet, this is the issue, he says. But their minds were blinded. Notice, their minds were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, let's look about how Christ takes away the veil. Let's look at the example. But even unto this day, when Moses has read the veil, and the prophet said the veil is the tradition. It's the creeds. It's the dogmas. The way man or false ministers look at the word, understand it and teach it. That's the veil. Is upon their heart. Now, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, is changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Notice, every part of the word has a purpose and a glory to it. We must look at each part of the word to be changed into that part of the glory. If you're looking into this part, right, then you're looking in it to be quickened, to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be sealed. If you keep looking here, you'll go nowhere else, because you cannot be born again and born again and born again and born again. So the preacher who does not understand that, he will continue thinking that's doing something. But right then and there, there's no more glory to happen. He must come over here, and now he has to identify himself, not that you are the son, that he is the son. Because if he does not know who he is, you will never know who you are. That's like somebody telling somebody how to find their place who is out, and they themselves are out of place. See, each section has a glory. You have to look into the promise in the message to get that glory. Now I'm going to give an example of the New Testament, how the veil is taken away by Christ. In the days of the Catholic Church, they believed in a gospel of works. They believe in indulgences. They believe in candles. They believe in confession. Oh, sorry. Small. Forgive me. They believe in candles, confession, in the box, etc. Now, they were looking in the Word. They were looking in the Word. And they saw a God of justice and judgment and a God of wrath and so forth. Now they were looking in the Word and they were pulling scriptures that were written there of an angry God and a God of justice and a God of judgment. They were pulling it from the Bible, but then God said the veil is taken away in Christ. And Christ represented, since he cannot be here, he is represented by seven stars. So when Luther came, that was Christ. And when Christ came, which was Luther, he took the veil away of those traditions. It brought liberty. And they were changed a little bit more to the glory of God, different from the Catholic believers. So the Christ that comes has been in every age taking the veil away. When Luther came, he took the veil away. When Wesley came, he took a little bit more. Pentecost took a little bit more. Until all of man's ideas and understanding of what the scripture is saying is taken away, that we would have the mind and thinking of the Lord. Free from man-made ideas, with the heart being turned completely away from human understanding to a divine understanding of the Word of God, the purpose of God, the plan and the calling of God. That's how the veil is done away with. Luther was changed from glory of the Catholic Church into the glory of his day. Wesley was changed from the glory of Luther to the glory of the Methodist. And the Pentecostals was changed from the glory of Wesley to the joy of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord and the gifts of the Lord. When William Branham came, it changed from gifts and blessing to position and authority. And in the very image of the living God, from glory unto glory. So the Spirit of God had worked in a measure by representation, came himself in this day and revealed himself in his own world. So we can behold the full glory and be changed into the very image. Because Christ, our life, our image, has appeared. Not is going to appear, has appeared. It is no idea of a man. It's not an idea of a man. But it's thus say the Lord, change from glory unto glory. So there is glory on the justification, sanctification, Pentecost. Then we have the very image of God. The very stature and image of the Lord. Now this part of Luther of the Word has been lived out. You believe that? No matter how much I preach justification, that glory has already been revealed and it is available for you to come into it because that was the glory gone by that you can come into. But it cannot save you. It cannot quicken you. It cannot give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it was the doctrine of Christ for Luther Day. Again, you can come to that glory if you never come in it, come to it. But it can't do any more for you because it's already lived out as a church, as a body, it's already lived out. Now, if you ever come up to Luther and Wesley, then you can come up that much glory, but that's not walking in the light. Because he's all the way up here today. So then they're living in an age gone by to a part of the glory that has already lived out. Let me give you another example. Noah's glory was to come over in the ark. But if Moses came and took the glory of Noah, which means God's opinion, estimation of how to be delivered, glory of Noah, and built an ark, then he would have drowned in the Red Sea. Because that's not the portion of the world to reflect and to liberate them in that day. This is the simple concept, but it's an important concept because when we come to this part of the image here, we realize when compared to the ages, there are many turns within this message. The prophet has told you there are many turns. He said we are not building a wall. We are building a building. If you're building a wall, the same glory you start with here, you're going to continue hoping you're going to take a rapture. I show you how the prophet said there are the stages. We are not building a wall, we are building a building. Each part of the word that changed you from glory unto glory has the power to transform you, to change you. There is a part of the message that calls you out of denomination. Call you out of the daughters and the mother and the harlot. Come out of her, my people. So also in this part of the message, there is a part of the message that puts the seed into your heart. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So watch the first six seals and then watch the seventh seal. I'm going to do it a little bit differently because I've done it before here. The first four seals calls you out to see the Antichrist working in the framework of the church. That's the first four seals. The anointing of those seals under the white, red, pale and black, black and pale, is to show you the Antichrist working in the framework of religion. And then call you out. Come out of her, my people. In fact, that's the last words in the first seal. Now, then the first six seals restored your heart back to the apostolic fathers. The first four doesn't do it. And the seventh doesn't do it. But the first six seals restored your heart back to the apostolic father. Notice, every portion of the seals, every portion of the word has a specific anointing to produce a specific result. Then the message, many different anointings with many purposes to change you from one glory to another. Let me show you that the process of God is the truth. What's the process of God? God has a process. Genesis 1:26. Man is born by the word of God. Is that right? Then he said, let us make man in our image. Then he's in the image. So he's born by the word, baptism of Holy Ghost. He's in the image of God. Then he has power and dominion. He's made Lord. Is that right? Then, after that, he is placed in a body change. Genesis 2 and 7. God made a body for him, right? So here you have, he's born, he comes into the image, and then he has a body change, Genesis 2 and 7. Then, in Genesis 2 and 9, then God put him in his future home, a garden. Is that a process? Let's take 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 4 is the same as Genesis 1:26. He become partakers of God's divine nature by the word. Then, 2 Peter 1:4-8, he is made into the image on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness. Is that right? Alright, so now that's Genesis, that's the image being formed. Then, an entrance is made for him to get adopted in a body change. Is that right? So now he has a body change by resurrection. And then God raptures the body and places him in a garden. That's Genesis, that's 2 Peter 1:16-17. It's a process. Notice the process. Right? He is not a God who lumps everything together. He has a season and time for different part of his word to have a different result. If we put the preacher and he does not know what he's trying to achieve in the church, they are not going to grow. Watch Matthew 16. Matthew 16 is the birth. Who do men say I am? My church will be built upon the revelation. Well, right here and here, the doctrine of Christ is the revelation of Christ in Luther Day. Christ justifies me. The revelation that the church is built on Wesley Day is the blood of Christ sanctified me. Is I the church is built upon the revelation, amen, that God gives blessing, restoration of gifts. Is that right? And then the revelation of Jesus Christ today is the revelation of the Father and the Son, the Godhead. What's Matthew 16:16? They are born again. What's Matthew 16:18? The church is given power to bind and to loose. God is trusting them with power, which means that they are coming into the image. Because in terms of image, you have power and dominion. Is that right? What's Matthew 17 that followed? Amen. Here he came. He is changed. And he is in contact with the living and dead. Translation. Rapture. A process. So God is a God of process. You have to understand the message. Now watch again. I'm going to make one little statement here. Now you can be born. This birth he's talking about is birthed by the seventh seal, the shout. But there's a birth under Brother Branham's seventh angel. This is on the sunlight. This is on the moonlight. But this is under starlight. Under starlight, they are not the bride in the bride age. They are the bride in the Pentecostal age. So Brother Branham is connected with two wives. His first wife is Pentecost. His second wife was down at the river and heard the voice, behold, I send you Elijah. But his first wife did not know he was that Elijah. Watch again. So there are many things Brother Branham taught on the starlight cannot come in here. Otherwise you make him a hypocrite. Over here he says, if you draw me out, I'll draw you back in. And then all of a sudden, come out of here, my people. Well, draw them back in, Brother Branham. Don't call your people out. Don't separate for doctrine. After 63, God's word calls for total separation from all unbelief. Faith coming by hearing, unbelief come by hearing. Two, because the prophet said Eve should not have stopped and listened. It created unbelief. Is that right? Well, why did Brother Branham say, amen, don't separate brotherhood for doctrine, and he is separated and calling him out and starting a new work and a new age? He said, you will make him a hypocrite. You have to leave what he taught before 63 under starlight. And then when the shout comes, that's the bride message. The bride did not have any message yet. This was the age of preparation. So watch again, when you see a minister come and he don't know how to rightly divide Brother Branham's starlight ministry from his sunlight and moonlight, it's because he's in confusion. And a man in confusion could not be quickened. Watch again. Under the seven seal message, there are many different works. There are many different anointings and stages that must be in the right sequence. The anointing to give birth to the bride, the anointing to ripen and mature us, the anointing to transform us by the renewing of our minds, attitude, and have the mind of Christ, the anointing to produce the character and image of Christ, the anointing to manifest the spoken word power, the anointing to quicken the mortal bodies. They're not all the same anointing. The prophet himself in his ministry of Son of Man, all the power was not in the healing. All the power was not in the discernment. But all of the power was in the healing, the discernment, and the fullness of the word. Well, if he had to progress, so do we. Watch now. True pastors and ministers under the Ephesian pattern will have to be under these different anointings so as to bring the bride through the different stages and sequence of growth to perfection. Notice the Ephesian pattern. Brother Sunan has preached that to you all, and I'm sure you all know it, so I'm not going to go back to it. But the prophet said, we're going back to another Ephesians. See, up to 1965, in the middle of it, he was always talking, back to Pentecost, back to Pentecost. But when he comes back now, he said, oh no, Pentecost is the baby church. He said, we are not going back to Pentecost, and this is not a repeat of Pentecost. We're going back to an Ephesian, not an Ephesian church, but an Ephesian church that was the most mature church under an apostolic man called Paul. Notice again. Notice the Ephesian pattern. The Apostle Paul knows the Ephesian needs. He wants them to turn a corner. He wants them to turn a corner from Ephesians 1:13, and he wants them to turn to Ephesians 1:17. Watch carefully. You see, it is not the pastor, it is the apostle of the church that knows he has to turn them. Watch carefully. Watch the pattern. We're going back to the pattern. Ephesians. Look, friends, you know, I can't preach this anyway. I can't preach that. You're up on it. You know, you already have, you know, in the spirit of it. But you think the one that's out there can receive this? They'll run you out of town. Watch Paul now. This is Paul showing the church that he knows there's a change that must happen. He says, in whom he trusts, he also trusted, after he heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. In whom also, after that he believed, you were already sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He past tense. He knew they were already birthed. He also knew that the birth was only the earnest. In whom, you see? He said, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all his, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of your prayer, that the Lord, the God, listen carefully, for the oneness is give them a lot of trouble, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? He's praying for them for the next step. Amen. You understand? He knew that the next step after the Ephesians would have been the Son of Man, that would have been the Son coming, and from the Son it would have entered into the fivefold, and there would have been a rapture. The fullness. So Paul is praying for the change. They don't have it yet, but he knew they were born again. He knew they had the earnest. He knew there was more to come, and he knew what was coming. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is the ministry of the Son of Man. Watch carefully. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. You already have revelation to know the birth, to be birthed, but you need more understanding. Say that your eyes of understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Now the hope of His calling is revealed here to produce this. That is made known under the seventh seal, the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of the glory of the heavens and the sea? Now, He also knew that the power they had to quicken their nature, to change their nature, was not the power they needed to be adopted. The power to change their bodies, the power to resurrect them. The power of the birth is not the power to harvest. He knew that they needed a greater power, so He says here. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us what? Who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Notice, the power for the birth is not the power that will change your bodies. The power to change your bodies, amen, is a greater power than the power of the birth. That's why it has the power to change your, this year, it's to change your nature. This year is to change your mind. This year is to change your image, your character. This year is to change your body. Then to change your destination. It's a transforming power until it comes to what was in God's mind. And to take you from being servants where you are. When you're born again, you're a son, but you differ nothing from a servant. And then now to put you in a high place in heaven. Hear what He says. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And that's the next part of it. Set Him on the right hand. This is where you will be too. Set with Him in His throne. As He overcame and set with His Father in His Father's throne. Amen. Everybody see that? Alright. So did Paul know that there was a transition? Did Paul know there were stages that had to come? Then the Ephesian pattern must have the same. It must have the same. From the power to change their nature, to the power to change their image, and to change their body. Ephesians 1:19, he said that the power He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He raised Him as dead and gave Him a body change too. He said, I want that for you. Now that you're birthed, I want that for you. Then He says here, from servant to Lord. See, when you set Him on your right hand, you're no longer servant. You're Lord. You're no longer, you see, you're sons, but you're nothing different as servant until the time appointed of the Father. And that time appointed is in the time of adoption. The apostle knew the change of the music sheet. He knew what and when the next stage and sequence was to be. Watch Colossians 1:28 and 29. This is what every apostle wants for his minister. This is what every minister wants from his elders. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect means to bring you to your complete state that God ordained for you. To know how can the ministry, Brother Sernan, how can the apostle know or the ministry bring a people? How can I bring a people if I don't know the stages? If I don't know the stages, the results, the anointing, and the sequence of time. It's not written in a manual. It means the gift that God placed. He would move upon those men in the right season. Open their eyes in the right season. Anoint them in the right season. Amen. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working. See, even I am striving for that. According to the working which worketh in me mightily. Notice, the purpose of the ministry is to bring the bride to perfection. Any less is unfaithfulness. Any less. You see, if you don't make a rupture, the first person God is going to ask is your pastor. And the first person he's going to ask after the pastor is the apostle. And the first person he's going to ask after the apostle is the messenger of the age. Why? Did you not bring the full message? Yes, Lord. Apostle, did you not rightly place the doctrine? Yes, Lord. Pastor, did you not rightly preach, amen, that message? That both doctrines? Yes, Lord. Dennis, what did you do with it? Remember, God cannot change. If that is the Apostle Paul in the Ephesian pattern, understanding the changes from the earnest, from the birth to the earnest, looking for the redemption, knowing what to pray for, knowing what that stage will bring. God cannot change. Not in this Ephesian pattern. Here Paul trying to tell the church, let's move on. We've got this packed down. Let's move on. Pastors, let's move on. Elders, let's move on. You see, it's not a pastor telling another pastor to do it. It's the apostle telling the elders of the Hebrew group. Therefore, leaving the principles, that means the beginning, the start of what, where you started, and your start is always your birth. Therefore, leaving the principles, the beginnings of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to completion, perfection, the finish. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. He knew that that gave them birth was only the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. The Apostle Paul to the elders, the church was not growing. He's looking, the church is not growing, and he knows why they're not growing. The church was not growing. They were preaching the same thing over and over. It's like somebody preaching on Malachi 4. They use Gideon. They use Elijah. They use Joshua. You know, they use Moses. Now, after you believe he is the prophet, after you know his commission, I can preach a million different types that didn't give you more faith. I can show you the bride being called in different characters in the Bible. That still won't give you no faith. Because you believe there's a bride, and you believe what the bride is called for and what she must come to. What is that going to do for you? That's just taking up time because you don't have inspiration to move on, to cause them to be transformed in another area of their life. Notice, the church was not growing, the same thing over and over. So Paul said to the Hebrews, of whom I have many things to say, and hard to understand that you're dull of hearing. For when it's time you ought to be teachers, ye need have one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle. Right back, I have to teach you now. Where's the doctrine of Christ? The first principles, the oracles? And to become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belittleth as them that are full age, those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern good and evil, or the good, the acceptable, or the perfect will of God. Catch that? Alright. Paul, an apostle, mind and purpose in his ministers. Watch Paul's. What's the apostle mind in his ministers? This is Epaphras. This is one of his ministers. Look at his mind. Who is one of you? A servant of Christ, salute you. Always laboring, fervent for you in your prayer, that he may stand what? Perfect and complete. Not they're born again. They know about this. No. His aim is the finish. He knew that when Paul was teaching, let's go on to perfection, when Paul was saying, let's go on and look for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you personally know what the will of God is for you. Because you cannot do anything for God unless you know who you are. And that's why Jesus was able to do what he did. You must have identification. That he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, those words mean that he is looking for the complete book to be revealed. Watch again. Paul, an apostle. What's the mind and purpose in his ministers? This is Timothy. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. What I am hoping for, what I am teaching, what I'm thinking. See, so if Paul is turning the corner, his ministers are turning the corner. Who shall bring you to remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. If that is not there, if an Ephesian pastor is not there, if that apostle is a false apostle, if he is not an apostle called of God, then he would lead them in changes that are not of the blueprint. It will be out of season. It will be out of sync. Watch again. How are you going to achieve this without an apostolic Ephesian pattern? 1 Colossians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that means the authority I have as an apostle, that you all speak the same thing. Now you tell me if you can do that in a message. And not even no divisions among you, you tell me. That can only be under an apostolic order where those ministers have the same mind. They trust that apostle. Because they have years of testing and walking with him. That there be no division among you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can that be? How can that be? Watch again. Note God's pattern for light and life. The prophet, Son of Man Alpha, which is Jesus, followed God's doctrine. He said, my doctrine is not my own. See? He said, as I hear, I speak. Watch. The apostle followed Jesus, the Son of Man doctrine. The Ephesian pattern church followed Paul, the apostle Paul's doctrine. The seven stars followed Paul's doctrine because they looked back to it. That's what the prophet taught us. The Son of Man today, William Branham, followed God's doctrine, the pillar of fire. The apostles followed the Son of Man, Brother Bill, Omega doctrine. The true ministers followed the apostolic doctrine. The husband follows the pastor's doctrine. The wives follow their husband doctrine. That's how they have the same mind, they speak the same thing, and they have the same judgment. Yes. If you don't have that, you don't have a true fivefold ministry. Watch carefully. The apostle was trying to get the elders of that church to the next sequence of growth. Or they will be preaching the same thing over and over again. They will be building a wall and not a building. That is the duty and the purpose of the fivefold ministry. The duty and the purpose of the fivefold ministry. They give some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, something. What carefully? For the what? The perfecting, the finishing of the saints. Till we all come to the what? To say the same thing, believe the same thing, have the same mind, have the same judgment. And the only way that Paul knew that was it moved from the apostle Paul to Timothy, to Epaphras, to Tychicus. And his elders, Titus. That's how it worked. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's the only way we can get here is when we get this fixed. When we take pride out of it, being puffed up out of it, having your own idea of leadership is. Only then we can get a people to have the same mind, say the same thing, have the same judgment. I want to declare that the present stage sequence and anointing has changed. The true born again ministry will follow the apostle pattern when God is revealing the change of the music seat, like Paul, when it was being changed. They were sharing that change. Watch again. So that the true ministry and bride will have the same unity of the faith, same mind, same judgment, speak the same concept. Watch Timothy. For I think that God has set forth us, watch the apostle. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles. That's including Brother Sermon. accident, as it were pointed to death. For we are made a spectacle to the message world. Just in the Philippines, he's made a spectacle to the message world in the Philippines. And to angels, that's preachers, and to men. Watch carefully. My first trip here was 17 years ago. My first subject was Godhead, the doctrine of Christ, the light that carried life. And what were we to them? We are fools. That word there means moron. They considered to be morons. Stupid. For Christ's sake, but are wise in Christ. They can't stand up to our doctrine. They will never call a meeting and say, Brother Tony, do it. Let's hear what you've got to say, because we know the word, we can tear it down. Never. They wouldn't do that. But ye are strong, ye are honorable, but we are despised. They hate and rejected who first? Me or Brother Sermon? Me. First, that they can, then they can, of course, Sernan and then Boney. See, God used me to bring the doctrine of Christ. Even Brother Cyril, he didn't bring the doctrine, so he was friend, and well loved by them. Because why? Only when you call out their darkness, call out their false doctrine, only when you cast light upon them, they hate you. That's what Jesus did. But what is the word pattern we apostles are set last? If that did not happen, I could not be in that pattern. You have to be, your ministry, your office, your life must fit word pattern. Being defamed, we are the two God people. Speak evil of, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are offscouring of all things. Why? Did Paul live badly? It was his doctrine. I write not these things to your shame, but as to my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. Who gave you birth? That's what Paul is asking. Who brought life to you? What member of the body brought the doctrine of Christ? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I'm a member of the body, just like everyone else. No greater, no bigger, but in an office. In office, an apostle, sent to help set doctrines, even a doctrine of Christ. Whereby Pastor Cernan, Brother Boney, even Brother Ace, got life quickened. So have a little part in you. And I want to say, that is up to you. It's you have to decide whether you will turn the corner. You are the one who have to say that we are in a different stage of our growth. Because I wouldn't want to say like Paul, and I hope I never have to say, you ran well, but who or what hindered you? Or who or what have bewitched you? I was telling Brother Sernan, as ministers get older, and their ministers that were with them begin to leave and have their identity, their wife, their family, the father gets old and he begins to long for the fellowship he once used to have. You'll find Brother Ruel wants to reach out. You'll find this one. Why? Because there's a law of return. The law of return. They want to go back. Be careful. You go back if they repent. You go back to show honor as a friend. But you don't go back as a son to a father. Therefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Now why? Why would Paul say that? Be followers of me. Question, why did Paul say that? For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you to the remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The true ministry and bride will have the same unity of the faith, the same mind, judgment, speak the same concept. The answer, some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But this is not a favorable thing. Look at the text. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I'll know. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the authority they have. Who gave you the authority? No, the apostle, if he is a true apostle, must be in season. You see, the seed or the teaching out of season cannot grow. For ministry and the believer, he must be taught the different stages of between birth and adoption and what to expect. The doctrine of Christ brought by someone, the other, you know, the others are ashamed or of like Paul. Oh my goodness. The trying of your faith. After the doctrine of Christ comes the trying of your hate. You are hated, rejected, persecuted. You should have already gone through that because of your revelation and doctrine of Christ. You should have already have suffered for Christ for the faith, bearing the reproach. You already have done that. Now we are in this stage here. But to get to this stage, we need this. This is an essential part. Because for me to say, to stay in the presence of the Son is to stay in the fivefold. I got to prove that in the Word. This has got to have a word pattern. You see, otherwise even the minister will not know his position, his place, and what he represents. Then we have the mind of Christ, the hope of our calling, God's desire of a family. A family that is of a certain species, a certain gender, plays a certain role. Every role has a responsibility. Every role has a relationship, and those relationships have responsibility. And then, for you to be developed into that image, you must know the understanding of necessary evil. God cannot commit evil in your life unless it's necessary. God cannot allow enemies in your life unless, and ask you to love them, unless they are very important to you. Because without your enemies, you cannot be perfected. Without Joseph's brethren betraying him and being an enemy, he could never get to the throne. That's why he could love them in the end. He said, I forgive you. He said, you meant it for hurt. But God meant it for good. His enemies were important to him. Amen. Pharaoh was important for Moses. Goliath was important for David. Hitler was important for the Jews to get back the fig tree into their position. There is no enemy in your life. We must cover that. We must cover free will. Without free will, there is no sin. There is no sin where there is no free will. Therefore, if you like your will, you're in bondage. But if you give up your will, you're free of condemnation. You're free of guilt. You're free of being wrong. You're free of... You see? Nobody can blame you. They say, blame the guy whose will I'm doing. Now, I'm skipping. Okay? You can see I'm skipping. I don't have the order. Character and image developed like Enoch. You walk like Enoch. No murmuring. No complaining. You see? Master in every circumstance. The work of God called men. Well, qualified and trained. That's where we are. They must know the change in the music field. They must know when the note changes to have a revival. Now, watch very carefully. We are working on this. Just give me a couple of minutes to get this out of the way. We need stones cut into sons and daughters of God. The question about it, who's going to do it? Who is the tool who's going to do it? What good does it do to roll up the stone if you're not going to have them cut? They've got to be cut and fit into the program of God, not the birth. My gifts and calling, I can't hear you. That's the fivefold. And placed into the church as they should be. Because if you don't know who you are, you can't do the will of God. Watch again, the prophet. The work of God called men who are qualified. Remember, they must be born again. They must be under Ephesian pattern. To have a revival, must know the change in the music sheet, right? Alright, from that time on, the prophet said, what good is stone without a stone mason? What good is that stone if there isn't a stone mason up there with a sharp two-edged sword of the word to shape it into a son or daughter of God? Not make it a son and daughter. You're already born, but you need this guy to shape you into this image. To lay in the presence of this Son means to let that Word shape you. To make it fit into the building. We need stonemasons, stone cutters by the Word of God to cut the confession into a real genuine pillar of the church. See, pillar. Not a baby, not a child, but someone of strength. Brother Bill was the wise master builder for this age. The apostles are builders of the ministry. Pastors are builders of the church. The fivefold are builders continuing the work according to the blueprint. Example. Well, let me show you a sequence of how that works. First, you must be born again. What's the sequence? And then when you're born again, you have faith. Can you really have faith without being born again? No. You can have sovereignty, God can give you something. But the faith to be in the body of Christ and to be a son of God, you have to be born again. Then, after you're born again, then you have faith. Only then can your faith be tried. Why is God trying us as somebody who is not his son? You'll never make it. It's only after you're born again, you're placed under that persecution. The trying of your faith. See, like Abel. Abel's faith was tried. It was his revelation he was hated for. He was killed for his revelation. Yes. Daniel, for serving his God. That is what they trapped him for. They were hated, rejected, persecuted because of your revelation and the doctrine of Christ. Suffering for Christ, bearing the reproach. Now, I'm here now. I'm finally here. Watch now, I'll give you another way Brother Branham looks at the process, and he's looking at it as the seed and the pond lily. The carrier, the shuck, it matured out. That's right. And then that is the seed itself. The carrier, the shuck, it nurtured it. That's right. Then that is the seed itself, has to leave the shuck, or the shuck has to leave the seed. That happens here. At the birth, to get the seed into the presence of the Son, so it can be ripened. Now, two things I want you to notice. When you're born again, hearing the doctrine of Christ. And when you hear the doctrine of Christ, you can't go back to a oneness preacher in the message. You can't go back to a oneness church, back to Baal worship, because Baal worship is a worship of creation. And this Jesus has a beginning, but this Jesus is Melchizedek, has no mother, no father. How can you go and worship Baal now? So you're going to find yourself under the light. You see, the birth, well, if you're birthed, you will know, amen, the light when you see it. So the stalk has to leave the seed to get the seed in the presence of the light, so it can be ripened. The doctrine of Christ causes a separation and brings the persecution. Then the seed gets in the presence of the Son. Now what does that mean, the seed gets in the presence? It finds that true fivefold ministry. It finds that church that believes the same thing that quickened them. Watch the process. It must be in sequence. Here again, the sequence again. This is a pond lily. Look where it comes through. Dirt, muck, mud, muddy waters, dirty waters. It pressed its way. Notice, it pressed its way all through all of that. This little germ of life. It's not quickened yet. It's pressing its way through justification, through sanctification. It's not born again yet. It hasn't heard the doctrine of Christ yet. Where am I? Oh, there's a little germ of life. Working itself from the bottom of the pond where the frogs and everything else are. And then bringing itself up all through all of that. But when it gets in the presence of the Son, it's born. The little seed bursts open into life. It cannot do that. It cannot do that until it goes through all that process. So he's going through justification, sanctification, then birth. You can't stop it. It's got to come through that. That's what makes it. It's because that the sun itself is what's drawing it. The sun itself. I think that's a beautiful type of a Christian life. When something is drawing you out of the world. Until one day you got right in its presence by the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. Must not misplace the sequence or the birth to the body change. In the above quote, the sun draws the seed. Then the sun quickens the seed. Notice that is a drawing, then there's a quickening, and then there's a laying in the presence of the sun. The sunlight. So let's look at the process. The sunlight gospel has a drawing power like the first and second pull. Did the first and second pull draw people? But did it quicken them? No. Then the sunlight gospel calling power to deliver out of darkness and mire and muck. That's the first four seals. Come out of her, my people. Then the sunlight power has the power to quicken after you have been called out by the doctrine of Christ. The sunlight gospel light transforms the mind and the thinking and the judgment. You have the mind of Christ. Know the hope of his calling. Now, some of you, I want you to be careful before you judge it. But listen to it. It doesn't sound right, but it's right. You can be like Jesus and be lost. Foolish virgins, the foolish virgins and God-loving people and still not be saved. To be like Jesus is to have the mind of Christ. Doesn't mean to live holy like Christ because a foolish virgin would make it. So that is why this part here is what makes you like Christ. It is his mind and thinking, not the holiness, because the foolish virgins got that. See, that's why you can be like Jesus in holiness life and still be lost. Right? Watch carefully. You can be like the bride, long hair, long dress, go to a Methodist church with picture and the pillar of fire and everything, and still be lost, because it's not that. It's having the mind of Christ with that. You see? The sunlight gospel produces character and image. Watch carefully. The sunlight gospel changes the body. The atomic particles in sync with your Zoe frequency, that's the gene, and our Zoe thoughts. So it takes three things. The Zoe thoughts in line with the Zoe gene frequencies. Then that begins to affect the smallest part of the atom, that particle. And that is what makes the whole body in sync. Watch again. Everybody okay? So it says you must lay in the presence of the sun. That's the fivefold ministry to be ripened. So let us look at the sun. The sun is light. Light equals knowledge. And without knowledge, there is no birth. Because 2 Peter 1 and 3 that I read for you says that he has given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. That word knowledge is a unique Greek word. It's not genosis, it's epigenosis. And that word means not any kind of knowledge, it means the precise and accurate knowledge. Not any kind, you can't hit and miss with this. It has to be the exact thing. Otherwise you miss the mark and it becomes sin. Watch again now. Let's make it light equals knowledge to give birth. After you hear the word of truth, you get a certain knowledge of something that's carrying life, and that is the light that quickens you. So light equals knowledge and knowledge equals life. Watch again. The source of all light and parts of light and life. God is light and the giver of light. Is that true? Even at the end, he's still. And there shall be no night there, no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. Who giveth light? The Lord God. And of course, 1 John 1 and 5 says, God is light. Alright, now I want you to watch this scripture. For in him, that's not the Son of God. That's not the Son of God. For in him, God was life. And the life was the light of men. Watch carefully. And the life was the light of men. It means if you want to know if a man has life, check the man's life, check his knowledge, check his understanding. It will tell you if he's got the evidence of the Holy Ghost, which is life. Check and see how he understands the doctrine of Christ of justification, and you will know he has life, because the life is the light of men. And if that man is not speaking justification with an understanding, he does not have life. So knowledge, so when it says the light was the light of men, the light was the light of men, check the man's understanding and you will tell whether he has life. And you see, the knowledge and understanding of a man tells if he has the life of God and if he came from God. A man's life is identified by God's knowledge and understanding in him. John 17:3 is in our age, and this is eternal life, that they might know. So if you don't know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, you do not have the life of light. You do not have life, because you have no, the light in you is not the light of God. It's the light of man, which is creeds and dogmas. That makes sense? Now, I'm building up to something, so give me a minute. Why am I so enthused? Because if light is life, then if the man who's standing here, if he has light, he can give you life. And if he can give you life, it means he can also bring the doctrine of godliness, but bring you into a godly image, and it's finished. So when it says lay in the presence of the Son, you've got to know that light equals life, and the only way to know life is watch that man's knowledge. Life equals light, which is the knowledge in men. Jesus had eternal life, didn't he? And he was the light of the world. He was the knowledge, the true wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what God is. O righteous Father, watch carefully. The world has not known thee, therefore the world don't have eternal life. But I know thee, and I'm the only one who is born again in that world. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Watch again. A man is revealing his own word, just like Christ is revealing his own word. A man is revealing his own word, his concept, by his truth, his teaching, his doctrine. That's how a man is known. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So darkness of the mind and the heart, darkness of understanding. Darkness is not the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of God, the absence of a gene, the absence of Zoe. Because if there is a Zoe, it's life. And life will acknowledge light or truth. The gene will say, oh, that's truth. Yeah, that's truth. Why? It was made for the light. That's why God is sending it. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, being darkened in their understanding. You notice the light shineth in darkness, but they understand it not. Why? Why they understand it not? Because what? Because they are alienated from the life of God, from the gene. If you are alienated from that, if the light shines forever, amen, it will never comprehend it. Therefore, know that for the man to stand here with the knowledge of the doctrine of Christ, if he can give you life, he will also be able to bring you in the doctrine of godliness and bring you to the finish. But if he cannot do the first, he cannot do the last. No understanding means no life. His light, his doctrine of Christ, the word of truth to life, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, John 8:12. Now, Jesus began on, said unto them, Jesus speak again unto them and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Watch carefully, the same text from John 1. Now watch, he that follow, how can you follow? If you didn't follow Luther, you did not have the light of life. The knowledge of life, you did not have it. Amen. The same way you can follow William Branham all the days of your life, you will not have the... That has to come through the fivefold. It has to be, you cannot bypass the cow and eat the grass. You're going to die. Can't do it. So this part here of laying in the presence of the Son is a misunderstood statement. People want to stay in the presence of the tape, the presence of the book. You've got to stay under a born again, qualified, representative of Christ. And if you don't know how to tell one in a million, if you don't know the gift you have, if you don't know, you tell me of all of Manila who believes in one God who has a Son. And the ones who believe it don't know how to use it. Therefore, he said, awake the thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That's denominational dead, that's oneness dead. You can be in a message under oneness speech and be dead. And Christ shall give thee light. What is the light? He'll give you life. Now, everybody happy? Alright, now let us break down, let's come down, that's general. Now let's bring it down from Christ, from God to Christ, down to that local level you are. This is the Apostle Paul. Watch the light of the Lamb to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Now, I want to ask you, did Christ appear to the Gentiles? Or was it Paul that appeared to the Gentiles? And unto the people through Peter. Now watch carefully. A light. So light can mean revelation. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. And the glory of your people Israel. That's two kind of light. One under the seals. One under the trumpets. Two. So there is Son of Man light. Unto the Gentiles. Unto the Jews. Watch carefully. I'm going to look at it this way. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. Paul gospel preached to the Ephesians, then written as a prophecy of the Son of Man for the seventh seal, Malachi 4, 5, part B. Everybody got to call that? I don't have to say that, right? The Gentiles are two parts, right? And the glory of thy people Israel means after they turn in down in Acts 13:44, that now the 144,000 has to come through Moses and Elijah, that will be the glory of thy people Israel. Because Israel is not saved as a nation until Moses and Elijah come. So the light that comes, that he gives light, is directed to two classes of people. Alright? Now what I want to show you is that light takes different paths. A path, P-A-T-H, right? Light takes different paths. And you have to watch that path, because didn't light take a certain path here? Doesn't it take a certain part here? Here, so, but each one of that light is not the same. It doesn't produce the same thing. Watch carefully. This is Paul. So God has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light for the Gentiles. I want to ask you, is a man set for a people? Set as light to a people? Watch the word. Is God saying, amen, I have set you, Paul, to be a light to the Gentiles? Amen. Can a man be a light? Can a man be a light here that you can lay in the presence of that man and be ripened? Amen. Because if you think Tom, Dick, and Harry in the message can be light, that's why I'm trying to spend time here. That they, under the oneness, under another gospel, you have another Jesus. The Baal of the old is another Jesus of the new. But Jehovah of the old, which is the Father, is the Jesus. He became, Melchizedek, became name Jesus Christ by not becoming a son, by having a name change. A man cannot be a son and a son cannot be his own father. Show me that in nature. In nature is God's Bible too. You see, now I ask you this. Can a man be set as a light? Can the Son of God be set as a son? Can a group of people be set as the moon? Huh? Can William Branham be set as the sun in the evening time? Because the light, as the light shineth on the east and flasheth on the west, can it be that two different vessels can flash light? Can reflect light? Watch now. I didn't write that there. That's written in there. So that we can look and see what this prophet means when he says, lay in the presence of the sun and be ripened. Right? Light of prophets, ye are gods. Remember that? Note, Brother Bill, the Elijah is set to be the light for the Gentiles. Can a man be set to be the light? When the scripture said, arise and shine, thy light has come. Where were you looking? And when you looked at him, did you see things of God? Because he was set to be a light. Or not a light, the light. For the Gentile, the message. And the messenger is the same. Watch. This is Brother Branham's ministry, Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold mine. Elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. Just like Isaiah 61. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Who brought judgment to the Gentiles? Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles. But who brought the judgment to the Gentiles? Watch carefully. He shall bring forth judgment unto what? He can't do that without the opening of the seals. The full truth could not come until the opening of the word. And then the judgment can be set. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment in the earth. And the eyes, that means the Gentiles, shall wait for his law. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I even wrote your name on the mountains. Oh, isn't God good? And will uphold my hand, thine hand. I will keep thee. He can't lose a battle, brother. He's our Joshua commission. And give thee for a covenant of the people. For what carefully? For a life of the Gentiles. Can a man be a life? Can you lay in the presence of that light and something happened to the fivefold? You see, what I want to show you, the prophet is the light to the fivefold. And the fivefold is the light to the people. Outside of that order, there is no rapture in faith. Is it important to lay in the presence of the Son? Is it important to know what it means to lay in the presence of the Son? If I have a pastor who is born again, who knows the doctrine of Christ, who opened up the gospel, I'll thank God every day, because I will ask you, if it was not for sermon, what church would you go to? Is anybody preaching the doctrine of Father and Son? Godhead, the Lord said unto my Lord, they don't touch that scripture, and if you touch it, they want to punish you. Like if we wrote it in there. Oh, the seals are open, all the scripture, we got a devil's answer. Devil's answer to it, devil's question, they don't touch that. Hypocrites, see? Watch carefully. I've set thee for a light, covenant, and for a light to of the Gentiles. To open blind eyes, to bring out of prison, for the prisoners from prison, and them is sit in darkness out of prison. Note, like Moses, Brother Bill became God, veiled. His light, his glory, his word reflected and unveiled. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. Where did you see it? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Where did you see it? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. If you go to any false interpretation of the message, you did not come to thy light. They are not representing the gospel of William Branham. Because everything has a twin. There's a Godhead teaching, there's another Godhead teaching. There's a new birth teaching, there's another new birth teaching. See? You name anything, there's two of them. Both of them have quotes. Watch again. Note life. Life. Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, well, if life equals life, shall be manifested, then shall we also with him be manifested in glory. You cannot separate the light from the life. Where did that manifest? In the messenger William Branham. And we will be like him. Note, life equals light, knowledge, revelation, understanding. And so this here is light coming. This is Isaiah 60 coming. That the Lord God, that the God of our Lord Jesus, Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is God himself coming. That's Isaiah 11 for Jesus. You see? To make him a quick understanding. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, the spirit of might and the spirit of counsel shall be upon him. That is what was here. Brother Bill is set to the light, to be the light to the Gentiles. You believe that? As Paul, we are to come to him. Now the question about, with whom took he counsel? Talking about God. And who had instructed him? And taught him in the path. Notice the word path. Of judgment. And taught him knowledge. And showed him the way of. Has anybody taught the Lord? Anybody showed him the path, different paths of wisdom? No. So therefore, let us look at the man here, that the light must come forth so that you can be ripened. In Isaiah 8 and 20 says, to the law and the testimony. We know the law today and the testimony is the message of the hour. If they, that means the minister, speak not according to this word, it is because there is what? No light. So now watch carefully. Watch carefully. William Branham is set to be the light to the Gentiles. Then his ministers take that word from him and they become the light, because the light and the life is the same. Amen. And when that man takes that light, he becomes light to you. Because he says, if they speak not according, you can't speak what you don't believe. You can't speak that which is not in your heart. Therefore, when you speak it, he said, if they don't speak it, there is no light in them. But if they speak it, there must be light there. Do you want to say, in the presence of the Son, find a man who speaks the law and the testimony of the message of the hour? If they don't speak it, there's no light in them. But if they do speak it, that's where your light is. To stay in the presence of that light. Watch carefully again. The path of the righteous. Who is the righteous? Righteous are the one with the right revelation, like Abel. He was the righteous. Abraham was considered to be righteous. Why? Because Abraham believed God. He believed the revelation God gave him. And it was counted for him for what? Righteousness. When a man believes the right doctrine, the right message, the right understanding, amen, he is the righteous. The path of the righteous is a minister, is as a dawning light. That means he's like a sun to you. Amen. That shineth more and more. In other words, if you stand in that man's presence, the righteous, amen, he's like a sun to you. And he's rising, and his strength is from strength to strength until he comes and brings you into the ripening harvest. Stay in the presence of the sun. Find the Son and stay in the presence. And let that minister stay in the presence of that apostle. Let that apostle stay in the presence of Malachi 4. Amen. Otherwise, we will answer for every soul. Everybody wants to be a preacher. Everybody wants to preach. Who wants to answer for the soul? You see, you're not looking at that day when he's going to ask. When that woman looked up at her pastor and she said, "You deceiver, you deceived me." Everybody want to be a preacher. Everybody want to be an apostle. Everybody want to be a teacher. But you see, they're only looking at how it is here. They're not looking at what they must give account of. I want to ask you, do you believe you have the part of a righteous one here? If you have the part of a righteous one here, minister, amen, who is righteous, then he is as the rising of the sun. And he can only become stronger and stronger to give you light. Once again, it's the same word path. It means a way, an avenue, a channel. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. In other words, you find a righteous minister, but don't go in the way of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil. He said, but if you don't know what the wicked is, when the wicked one is revealed and the wicked ministry is revealed, it's because you don't know how to identify them that are not born again. There are two parts. There's a part with the twins that are in the same message. They are so close, they'll see the very elect. Reflecting two kinds of light and two kinds of ministry. That's why Nestor preaches one set of doctrine, Sernan preaches another set. Those of them that preach like Nestor, all of them can be one. Little minor political differences. But they're not the same. Either these are men of God and he is a man not of God, of the devil. Or he is a man of God and they are not. But both of them cannot be, because they reflect in two different lights. The world, they want to blind you and say, no, it's all the same, it's just little errors. It's not no little errors. There's no such thing like that. Two kinds of light. Which one is going to bring maturity? Which one is going to bring birth? Which one you're going to see in the present, the right mature? Which one? Because if the darkness in them is telling people, deceiving them as light, they'll never come here. And if he is deceiving you as light, he will never bring you to adoption. That's just the truth. Watch again. No, the path is the sunlight. The light, which is the doctrine, the instruction, the teaching. Back to the two trees again. To the law and the testimony, if the minister speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they do, it is light in them. No light means no birth. It means no ripening. It means no maturity. But the path of the righteous minister is as the dawning light, sun, that shines more and more. Let us look at that a little bit more. Ministers represent light or darkness. Upon the seed on the earth, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, they are called angels, and it's called his ministers are like angels of light, transformed. Now in the message of the hour, certain can be either transformed or dead, because they are two different teaching, two different lights. One of them is and one of them isn't. You can't have both. The degree of the strength of the light, Psalms 21:4, show me, prophets, then apostles, then ministers, the way of Jehovah. Teach me, notice, not path, but the path. Because there is a path to bring you out of the mire and clay and call you out of denomination. There's a path to quicken you. There's a path to lay you under the sun. There's a path to mature your change, transform your thinking and your mind and your judgment. And there's a path to change your character. There's a path to bring you into harvest. There's a path. Each path takes you to a different process and brings a different result. But when you come to the finish of this, it takes you to that. You turn another corner. Another anointing. Another set of promises. Watch again. Note the parts, plural. Not parts, parts, plural now. See? The parts. Parts. So it's plural. Parts. Many different stages and sequence of growth and development. One life on teaching for being called out. That's the first four seals. Second life of teaching, part, another part of life for birth, doctrine of Christ, enter into the body of Christ. Another part of life to endure, amen, preserve, preserve you during rejection and persecution and being hated. Then the fourth life, Allah will teach you to stay in and lay in the presence of the Son, the true apostolic fivefold ministry. Five, another part of life, amen, teaching for transforming your mind, know what is the hope of His calling. Six, life, another part, or teaching to develop and shape your character and image. Seven, life, for teaching to change your body. Eight, amen, life, for wrap you to change your destination. Different parts. And that man, it says the righteous is as the rising of the sun, the dawning of the sun. But he gets stronger and stronger. In other words, from path to path, it's from faith to faith, it's from glory unto glory, until you come into perfection. And he will be the first to reflect it. Because he is the partaker first. What's Proverbs 12:28? In the way, that's the path. Another way of saying the way is the path, which is the same word. See, it's the same strong word, 7:34. In the path of righteousness, what is righteousness? Faith. Revelation, Hebrews 11:4. In the path of righteousness, or faith, is life. And in the pathway, there is no death. And then that must be eternal life. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that's the ministry of Christ, and he, the ministry, shall direct what path you must go to. Notice path. What path? He will direct. Not path, path. Proverbs 22:20, that thou may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. What is the path of the righteous? To walk in the light as he is in the light. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. I can go into the word keepeth, but let's just stay there. Instruction means doctrine. But he that refuses reproof err. Everybody understand where we're going? Can I say that you understand? Amen? Alright. Okay, so I will close this up here. What time is it? No, my time is an hour, I think. Forward about. What time is it? 9:35. Can we do a half an hour? Half an hour. Okay. So how many understand this part here? I mean, I'm not doing fundamentals, but you can add all your scriptures up, but this is, you understand this section. How many understands where the light is now? How you can stay in the presence of the sun? The ministry understands what they represent, and how they stay in that light. Right? Then, what I want to work on now is from here to here. How do we ripen? How do we ripen? The ministry first, and then you. That's how do we start? Where do we start from? Alright? To be ripened. Let us go there now. Everybody's taking a five, so am I. Okay, So we'll knock off at 10 o'clock. I'll just go as far as 10. And that way on Sunday, Lord willing, we can take a jump. We can try to finish off this and jump over to the final section. Okay? All right? All right. Now, we have come through the sequence, and I'm not reading the quotes anymore. The seed must be in the heart. We know that. That's the nature change. It must lay in the presence of the Son. You believe it's a fivefold in apostolic order? All right. Amen. It must ripen. There's a change of mind, the mind of Christ. Four, then character, then image. Change of character. Then you have the change of atomic particles. And then the change of destination. The order of events from glory unto glory. Under the seventh seal message, there are many different works, anointing and stages that must be in the right sequence. Now, let's look at that. Now, we are here. We're looking here. Alright? We're looking there. In the message, power of transformation, Brother Bram is using Romans 12. That's why we use Romans 12, because he is a divine interpreter of what? The Word. And if he is using Romans 12, it means in our season we will need it. And it means under that scripture there is an anointing, there is power, and there is a promise for the bride. Is that right? And if he is using it, and then nobody else could have used it before, because he is preaching the power of transformation, and no one understood the power of transformation, because the last time we saw that was in Enoch, and very little was written about it. I can't hear you. Is that right? Okay, now. So he starts off in a power translation, paragraph 37. In Romans, a very familiar chapter, and in this, try to explain it the best that I know how by the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is an explanation of Romans 12. But his explanation is trying to get us to the ripening and the maturity. Right? The ripening and maturity. I should have put that there. This character and image belongs to the bottom here, and this is ripening. Alright. I beseech thee, he's reading the scripture, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And notice the key words in here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's what we all want to do, is be not conformed to this world. Well, I think I need to erase, don't I? Now, the word conform means don't be in union with. So if you're not in union with, it means you're separated from. Is that right? If you're not in union with something, you're not one with it. You're separated from it. So be not in union with this world. But be not conformed, it means union, with this world. It means this world, cosmos. It means the order and arrangement. It's the order and arrangement set by this world order, or that which is not of God's order. So this is the world order or man's order. Alright? It's man's order or it's Satan's order. And when this order comes to such a place where it squeezes out God's order, this becomes Satan's Eden. And Satan, because of his order, the how he has arranged the order of life, because of this arrangement, this becomes Satan's Eden, Satan's world or cosmos, and Satan becomes the god of this evil age. Now, from this power of transformation, the messages of Satan Eden god of this evil age, trying to do God's service outside of this world, all of these is right within the framework of this order. I must be hungry, I'm trying to eat it. Cosmos. Now, I'm just going to give you a simple explanation what I mean. To counter this order, what God does in His church, He sends a prophet to set His order. And He calls it conduct, order, and doctrine. Doctrine means, if it's from God, supernatural instructions. And when this doctrine comes, it sets the order and the conduct of God's people, which is made up of the species Zoe, of men, which represents gender, male and female gender. It allows them to play their roles, to have their relationships and their responsibilities. In His order, He's going to counteract the church order, the church conduct, order, and doctrine, or religion, or what we want to call it, the mother and the daughter, or the false church. So this is the religious world, and then you have the secular world, which we know as the non-religious world. So now, let me show you how it works. Be not conformed, but don't join. If you don't join in to the church order, world order, then what order are you going to join into? Well, in a divine order, God's supernatural doctrines or instructions that are supposed to change your conduct and the way that you order your life. It's going to change the men and make them the kind of husbands, in the role of husband, more like what Christ is. It will make the father role more like what God is. It's going to make the son role more than what Jesus is. Do you understand? As a son. So it's going to change the woman from the religious woman here to what Christ said a wife is. What a woman is. She's going to watch her Nazarite vows. She's going to watch her virgin vows. She's going to watch her virtues. Motherhood, womanhood, and wifehood. Those are the three sacred things in those roles. So the transformation is going to take place if your species Zoe, if your gender, according to your gender, you have to know the hope of His calling, what a wife is, the hope of a calling, what a husband is, the hope of a calling, what a son is. If you don't know the hope of His calling, like, let me give you an example. If you say you want to be like Jesus, you can be thinking some very foolish thoughts. Because first of all, if you're a sister, you can't be a prophet. Second, if you want to be like Jesus, you have to be virgin born. And if you want to be like Jesus, and say, I want to be like him, you have to be incarnated, and you will never be incarnated, you will be anointed, you will be, you know, you will have the Zoe life and all of that. So to be like Jesus, if you want to, you know, walk about and heal the sick and do this, that's a ministry. That wasn't a son doing that, that was a ministry to attract attention. That comes once in a generation. Do you want to be like him? So when it says, if you want to be like Jesus, you've got to know what it means. What does it mean to be like Jesus? To be like Jesus is to have the mind of Christ, and his mind was to do the Father's will for his life, his role. Not, you cannot play his role. You cannot live his life, because that was laid out in the word what he will be. So you, when it says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that's an individual being revealed, having a personal revelation of what God purposes for you. If you don't have the thinking of Christ, to do the Father's will, but not to do like, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry. Only what is written of you, only what is ordained of you. Because you did not choose your gender. And since you did not choose your gender, you cannot choose your office. You cannot choose your role. You cannot choose your relationships. And you cannot choose the responsibilities. All of that is designed in conduct, order, and doctrine for you. How you dress is how conduct, the doctrine set for you. Because you are in God's world. You represent in God's kingdom. You are not joined to the church world. They might be able to dress a certain way. The secular world might be able to dress a certain way, but not you. You are a Nazarite. You keep your hair long, not because of law, not because it does anything to send you to heaven, because the twins in the message have long hair and they're not going anywhere. No, you know what it means. It represents, I am not in the conduct and order of the world or the religion. I know what that means. I'm a Nazarite, not just to my husband. I don't only represent him. A Nazarite to the Lord, saying, he is my head and I'm the church. I am here to obey, to submit. And it's my joy to do that. You say, Brother Tony, but how can I keep my virginity? I'm already gone and, you know, wasn't taught. Don't worry about that. You can become a virgin to the word. Amen. That's the only thing that you live by. The only thing that comes to your mind, the only seed that you permit is his vindicated word. Amen. You see? Okay, I've given up enough here, a lot here. This will follow up later. How you now are being transformed and being set in a different order, and to walk and live, sisters, to live in a certain conduct that's higher than all the other churches or women in this world. Why? Because you are his bride. Amen. And he has sent someone like Haggai. And Haggai knows what pleases the king. He knows what he likes you to wear, how he likes you to walk, the kind of hair, how he likes your hairstyle, how he likes, you see, the material clothing. He knows. Our Haggai has come to set the church because he knows what the king likes. And we, the Esther, we desire nothing but what Haggai suggests. Amen. Okay, I'll just give you this piece here so that you can get the idea of how we know, it's not that we don't know how to be ripened. We now know how to be, at least I know how to be ripened, to share it with you. You see, now it's to share it with you because this has been revealed. And this is the season that he wants us to enter, otherwise you would never reveal it. Even though it's unveiled by the prophet, they can still be blinded to the ministry. Watch carefully. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, I'm going to give you what the mind means. Your thinking must change. You must learn to think. Not the way the church world says. Not the way the secular world says. Not the way mommy and daddy says. But the way hey guys say. You see? That you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's what we all want to do. To be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To do the perfect and acceptable will of God. Now, that we have. Now, listen. This is your key again. Look how it comes back in your ABCs. Now that we have been saved. That's here. That's this block here. Now that we've been saved. In other words, the power of ripening and transforming can have no effect if you have not been born again. You cannot jump. I can preach this amen to a oneness church in Manila, all of them, and it will say that's a good service. But the effect will never have in your life. Because the prerequisite, is that you must have already been born again. Now that we have been saved as we are, that's what the prophet said, and that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit as we have, is that born again? Is that the seed in the heart? Now we want the mind of Christ. Notice, after you get the new nature, what do you want? A new mind, a new thinking. Change of nature, change of mind. What's the mystery between these two? This man. That man. Conduct, order, and doctrine is not a law, is not legalism, is not fear, but it is a joy to know that you are in His order, divine pattern that tells you you are not of this world. It has nothing to do with salvation because you've already been saved. He says, now that we've been saved as we are, and that we have been filled with the Holy Ghost as we have. Now, that means after that, the sequence that follows. Now we want the mind of Christ to be in us. And if the mind of Christ, what's the key word? If the mind of Christ means to think the way Christ thinks, that is what causes us to be transformed. What transforms you? Thinking like Christ. Learning to think how He thinks. And the key thing that He taught was, to do the Father's will of the things that I was born to do. Not what I was not born to do. Because right in this section here, Lucifer fell. In this section here, Lucifer fell. That's why the mind of Christ is followed with the next, he made no reputation of himself. Because when Lucifer was made co-equal with God, as Christ was counted not robbery to be equal with God, Lucifer was co-equal with God, and then God made Christ co-equal with him, Christ made no reputation for himself. He said, no, it's not me that do the work, it's my Father. I am, my Father is greater than I. I never heal anybody, it's not my doctrine, it's not my... But Lucifer took it for himself. And he made a reputation of his gift. He made a reputation of himself. But Christ, he didn't think like that. It was to glorify his Father. And to do only those things which pleased his Father. And what pleased his Father is if the Father made a dog, he didn't want him to meow like a cat. He wanted the creation to act out in the nature and calling that he did. To pervert the dog to make him a cat, or to make him act outside of his nature, or to make him to be outside of what God ordained him to be, is to pervert him. Now watch again. Why did Lucifer fell? And why would this here require humility and contentment? Because Lucifer was discontent because he was so gifted. He was made more special than all the other angels. Like you. You are the bride. You're in that position. You are called to be higher than all the churches because you are the apple of his eye. But that can also cause to be lifted up. Why was Lucifer, what was his problem? He was discontented. And when you are discontented, you murmur, you complain. Is that right? You tear down people who are what you want to be. See, to do what they want to do. We have to be contented with the hope of His calling for our life. If I'm a pastor, I'm contented. If I'm a deacon, I'm contented. If I'm an apostle, I'm contented. If I'm this, I'm contented. I'm contented. I don't want to be anything God don't want me to be. Because I am created by Him for a certain reason, specific reason. And if I'm a dog, I want to be the best dog. If I'm a cat, let me be the best cat. But I don't want to say, why am I not a cat? If you are living your life and you see some girl out there with her hair all chipped in a certain way and she's walking a certain way, and then you start to condemn her. Look at her, she's of the world. But in your heart, you wish you could be like her. Because sometimes the more you condemn and tear down is because, why is she doing it and I can't do it? You got to be contented that you are the bride and you are dressed like the bride, not to make you bride, but because you are the bride. See? See what he says. Now we have been saved as we are. Now we have been filled with the Holy Ghost as we have. We now want the mind that was in Christ to be in us, that we might be transformed from the natural things of life. Now that is a bit of a frightening thing. What are the natural things of life? It made it look like, it looked like things. No. The natural things of, like what it is to be a father, the natural way a mother, a wife, the roles that you have in your, these are natural things. But He's going to transform those roles and make them, because each one of those roles reflect Him or a part of Him. The church is a part of Him. It must reflect Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. See, to fellowship with Him. That's what she was created for. To be a helpmate to Him. To honor Him. To be a husband is to be like Christ. To be a high priest over His wife. To be a protector. To be a provider. To be a teacher. To be a priest. You see, to be a father, as a, if you, being evil, know how to do good for your children, how much your heavenly Father. See, He is, all these roles is for Him to be glorified. And any time you pervert those roles, you are perverting the Creator who you are made to reflect those attributes. So you are going to be transformed into His very image and the roles that you play. From the natural things of life, and be brought into the perfect will of God. What a perfect will of a husband is to do, perfect will of a wife, a son, a daughter. You see, and you begin to get the idea by the transformation of God's Spirit by His Word, or by the transformation of God's thinking. To be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform, the word will, and the word mind. We'll deal with that on Sunday, hopefully. Now, I want you to just give me 10 minutes and we finish this piece. How would you know the perfect will of God? Watch Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you that, and to desire that He might be filled. Here's this word, epigenosis. The most precise and accurate knowledge which cannot come without the opening of the word. Without the opening of the seals, we're filled with the complete, exact, precise knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, one of the purpose of the end time is to reveal the perfect will of God. So because this is the season for you to know the perfect will of God and to act in the perfect will of God. In other words, this is the Enoch season. That he walked with God and he pleased God because he walked by faith and he pleased God. This is the Enoch walk. Watch with the precise and accurate knowledge of gnosis of his will and all wisdom. How many wisdom? All wisdom. The wisdom of knowing how to be a father. The wisdom of knowing how to be a mother. How to be the bride of Christ. And all spiritual understanding. Not some. That he might walk, that's the Enoch walk, worthy of the Lord unto some pleasing. That's the Enoch walk. Being fruitful in some good works. Every good work, every role that he called you to play, every relationship that you would have, every responsibility that you have in those relationships, you are going to perfect it. And nobody is going to stop you. Because the people who try to stop you is you are testing to see how committed you are. People, your husband don't have to be perfect for you to overcome. Because you don't want to change him. You just want to pass the test. That's what we're going to talk. Necessary evil to help you. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. The word knowledge there is epigenosis. It means a precise and correct knowledge, used of knowledge of things ethical and divine. Not part knowledge, full knowledge. That can only happen with the opening of the seventh seal. The word is used in Colossians 2 and 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the, that word acknowledgement is the same word, knowledge, the true and precise knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That knowledge is your birth here. That starts off your birth here. Because the greatest revelation is what? The capstone revelation. You say, but Brother Tony should come last. The capstone revelation comes the beginning in this age, so it could prepare you to come into just like your father and son. If you don't know what father and son is, how can you come into it? So that's why it happens. And people say, oh, it should be last. It should be the last. No. It starts off in the age to give you birth so that you will learn and grow into what father and son is. So you can measure the ministry. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Watch carefully. The ministry is given till you all come to the unity of faith and the precise and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. You think the Son of God is the Father? Well, then you don't have the precise and accurate knowledge. Until a perfect man unto the measure and stature of Christ. It is used in Philippians, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in the complete and precise knowledge and in all judgments. This is the age when you will be able to make all judgments, and your judgments will be like Christ. You say, what does that have to do with us, Brother Tony? Without the precise and accurate knowledge of the hope of his calling for you, you could never put on the new man completely. And we have put on a new man, which is renewed in what? The precise and accurate knowledge of what a man should be. What the new man should be. What the stature of a perfect man should be. 2 Peter 1. Now you have that accurate knowledge of what the new man should be like. You know, Peter couldn't preach that. He wrote it. You see? All through the ages, they couldn't preach that. You see? Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means be renewed by the transforming of your mind, by your thinking like Christ. That he put on the new man, which is to be to think like Christ, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What man is that? That's the man of 2 Peter 1:4-8, the stature of a perfect man. If you don't have the precise and accurate knowledge what the new man should be like, then how do you know what to work for? According as his divine nature had given us all things that pertain unto the life here and now the godliness. The knowledge of him, through the knowledge, the precise, accurate knowledge of him. Now we know what gives life, how it gives life for the ages, and then how we come into the godliness, into his image. And if you have that, it will neither leave you barren nor unfruitful in the true, precise knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I better stop right there, otherwise we are going to need some coffee. We'll pick it up on Sunday if, is this enough? If this is enough for you to work on or smile, to move from here. We're here still, the ripening. We are in the ripening and the image phase. That's where the ripening and the image phase. This is already gone. The ripening and the image, which is this and this, to produce this, you see, that is what God is working on right now. That is the part that he's opened up that channel to bring that light, to bring us into the life of this, to transform us. And friends, we're not where we used to be, and we should not be where we used to be. You see, we just need to remain in the light as he is in the light. You know, as I said, I don't think I can kind of preach just anywhere, hardly anywhere, except in our groups around the world. They will take that. Abu Dhabi will take that. South Africa will take that. You know. But the countries, the elect around the world will take it, but not the oneness can't take this. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to start. You see, they're caught up, right? They don't know the path to life. The righteous knows the path to life, and it will shine more and more. Amen. I appreciate Brother Sernan and his patience, long-suffering. Brother Bonnie and the elders here, Brother Anecto and all the ministers, my brother Andy, for laboring and leaving his business to come and help minister to me and with me. And Brother Ace and his sister Christine, I enjoy that song so much. I think they kill it in my church. And do you know that one, Starlight Moonlight, the one that I see God in nature, I see God in. But is it okay if we sing these two songs to close? Yeah, let's sing those two songs. Amen. I just love the songs that these brothers, the Lord has inspired them to write. Amen. So, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and give you much grace. You can put yours there. Bless your brother.